Now, recording live from the SEC Pub.
Let y'all go on
it's
break.
The BS and Beer Podcast crew with your host, David Romero.
The most fun I've had all day long.
I know, I can't even let y'all go on break. Y'all come back unruly, misbehaving. Hey, it's ESPN 97.7. It's the BS and Beer Podcast crew. Heath Elson-san, Tomas Mauricio,
yo, yo.
Dave Romero right here. We're talking Saints, wall-to-wall, nonstop. Just a little bit later, we have Brian Bieniemy of ESPN 100.2. Y'all settle down over there. He's going to come on. He's going to talk some NFC South. Y'all laughing at me. Y'all waiting for me to make a mistake. But I have grown and matured as a person and as a radio podcast guy. These guys are laughing and getting on my nerves. Listen, apparently starting with 10 guys last week against the Vikings was not our problem because we started with 11. Didn't change anything.
No.
I thought that during the game that the Patriots were trying a lot of misdirection and some tomfoolery and some trickery, and I thought that was what our old deep snapper did. What is it, John Derbos, is that right? Yeah. I thought he was the one that amazed all the people in the team. But
well,
this
by
week,
the way, he had Tom Brady. Yeah, he had his surgery, and everything came out positive, they said. As a matter of fact, there was some articles that said that after his surgery, he was actually going around the hospital trying to cheer up other people.
I mean,
that's the kind of guy
he's like, watch my tumor disappear.
Yeah,
congratulations. Yeah. Everything I've heard.
Thank goodness.
The guy is
watch
amazing.
Watch out, snap his bedpan.
he strikes me as a guy who would probably do something like that. Just
put
looking
a rabbit
for
in it.
Hey, but you know, BS and Beer Podcast, get out of here. Bonus coverage is the second hour.
And now.
Hey, Rocky. Watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat. See? Nothing up my sleeve. Oh. Presto!
Hey, rookie! Hey, let's get to this bonus coverage, man.
Thank you. Thank you. And now, it's time for the bonus round, where you play in front of dozens of people for tens of dollars. Tomas, Heath, Dave, are you ready? Let's play BS and Beer Podcast.
All right. Welcome to the second hour to bonus coverage. BS and Beer here, ESPN 97.7. We went over a little bit of the good and all the good.
Yep.
That didn't take long, by the way.
Yeah.
So, and a little bit of the bad and ugly.
Yeah.
We got more of that to come.
Uh-huh.
We're going to do a little game preview. We also have Brian Bieniemy, who's going to come and do the NFC South report. We got our picks a little later. All kinds of action-packed show.
Yeah,
a full slate. Yeah. Full slate. Listen, we were talked a little earlier in the first hour. Coach Payton trying to be a little bit too much like Belichick. I think that, Tomas, you were saying that you felt that just maybe was the Bounty Gate suspension maybe is something that might have affected him.
No.
No? Okay, so Heath.
Moving on.
Do you really want me to talk about it?
I mean, yeah. I don't know why you're acting like this is some kind of taboo thing that nobody else has talked about.
I think that Sean Payton, when he first came on as a coach, he had something to prove. And so he came out. It was a tough team that he wanted to make. And that's what he did. Remember, they went to Millsaps, you know, hot as hell. They had people passing out and stuff. And you talk to the original team, and you would hear that. Boy, it was really, you either made it or you didn't. I mean, it was a really tough camp. But that made you into have men of character. And so that's what came forward. Now, that all was good, even after the, you know, Bounty gave it. What I think broke Sean Payton, since that was my rant, was his personal life. I think when he got divorced, and everybody knows what happened, everybody knows that he found some young thing.
A filly.
Pretty young thing.
PYT.
That's right. You could play that in there. All right. And so I believe that his personal life became reflective in his team life. And so, therefore, I think that that's really what changed the character of the team. So, to me, I don't know if there's any repairing that, truthfully. You know,
you
because
just think he's just not hungry anymore.
That's like part just, of it.
Yeah, and,
that's
and
part
I,
of it.
I can see that. Like, there, you know, you get a year off, not to mention, you married, you have kids. You have that whole thing, and if you've watched any of those shows, you know, every once in a while, I remember there was one about college coaches in the SEC, and they talk about the women behind them and the rock that they are. And like these women understand that these coaches are going to be working long hours, that and they design their life coaching.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden that whole part of it's gone.
Right.
And Sean Payton's out there, which is natural. You know, you're looking for other things and maybe someone else in your life. But now this person's not a coach's wife.
That's
and
right.
She's out there. Let's go to the concert. She's out there. She's like, hey, I want to go on a trip. I want to. And it's a distraction.
Speaking of distractions.
So I got Tomas over here. But Heath, you go ahead and take this over. You understand as a young single man.
I'm just making some symbols for the devil.
Yeah. I appreciate that. It's not distracting at all.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're right. You know, he doesn't have that. You know how they say behind every good man is a great woman, right?
Yeah.
Don't believe that. It's not real, but I just wanted to throw it out.
Completely fabricated.
But yeah, the bottom line is, man, his life was turned upside down. He went through a divorce. His family's living in another city now.
Another state.
Another state, yeah. What am I talking? Yeah, Dallas, huh? They're in Dallas or whatever. Okay, you know, so. And, you know, he's out there and he's going to try to get back out there. Well, you know, he's a little older now, you know, and he's probably gone after something a little younger. And, you know, so now he's got to put a whole lot of effort into working that angle and stuff, you know, and take a lot of attention away.
It does, and it takes a lot of your focus. Again, you don't have that person, that regimented lifestyle where you're like, look, mom knows you're going to be home at 10 o'clock tonight. She might even have a little food. She comes out in her robe, and she's like, baby, the food's in the oven. You know, got that for you. He comes home. He does that. And she takes care of the kids. Now all of a sudden that's gone. And it's like, hey, if you want to hang out with this new girl that you like.
Yeah.
She's not going to be sitting at home.
Yeah.
She's not going to be sitting at home at 10 o'clock with the food in the oven.
Right.
She's at the club or she's at. And it's a distraction. Now, that's been a while, but Peyton's still a single guy. I would imagine that his life isn't settled down to the point where he has a coach's wife. And here's the other thing. Those ladies aren't easy to find.
Right.
To find someone who's going to put up with that lifestyle is not easy. So just because he finds someone he likes, dating, doing all the things you do when you date, doesn't mean she's going to be like, yeah, I'm cool with that lifestyle. She's probably cool with the, and I'm not talking about she, I'm talking generically. I'm not talking about any specific woman. But she's cool with the money, she's cool with the trips and the fame and all the things that come with being an NFL head coach. But I don't think that necessarily a guy chases after the type of woman who's Susie Homemaker and ready to settle down. This all has to be a huge distraction.
Yeah.
And it shows on the field. And I don't know if this is the case, but some of this has to be in play because there are missing elements and it's not all lack of talent. Because I mean I watch the Patriots. We have a Hall of Fame quarterback. They have a Hall of Fame quarterback. You can argue which one's better, but having said that, they have to be somewhat close, right?
Right.
One of them has weapons. One of them was down to his running backs, and yet they still found a way to make it happen.
Yeah.
Something's missing other than just talent.
Right.
So we can sit here and pick at the players, and I can because we have some more ugly to go over.
All right.
And I can pick on a player, and I can say this guy was out of position. That guy didn't make a play. This guy shouldn't have held, and we'd had an interception.
Right.
But that's only a part of it.
Yeah. Well, because the question is whether all of that is systemic or not.
Right.
And exactly. I mean, I think that's really the point.
Yep.
You know, if you got one guy, I mean, you know, but when you're seeing it all across the board, that's part of a bigger issue. Not everybody individually fell apart on their own on the team and couldn't play anymore.
Right. And you mentioned earlier, Tom Benson, in the condition he's in, there's a certain element that's missing.
And all of the court stuff and everything. You don't think these players and other people in the organization aren't paying attention to that, wondering what's going on with the, you know, the family fight and the competency hearings and all these other things.
And especially because the woman that's suing him, that had the whole court thing, was actually running the team.
Yeah.
You know, they were actually answering to her.
Oh, Rita?
Rita,
Okay.
You know, that he brought her in. She was sitting on one of the principal committees for the NFL. You know, everybody on that team was like,
yeah, she was the heir apparent.
She's going to take over the team, and they're already answering to her. Now, all of a sudden, oh, my gosh, look what it's all blowing up. But let me give you another one. It's not just Sean Payton. If you're going to bring in Benson, here's another part that I think is an issue. Tom Benson needs to understand the Pelicans are the Pelicans and the Saints are the Saints. You're commingling funds too much.
See, okay, we can get into details of that, But I'd just like to interject that there's another issue. Yeah. That somehow or another, you have Mickey Loomis, who we can, again, we could do a whole show just on Mickey Loomis and what his role is and how effective he is in that role.
Right.
And listen, when you're good and you win a Super Bowl, and you sign a guy and it didn't work out and you backloaded or front-loaded or you did the contract in a way that it came back to bite you, you know, that happens every once in a while.
Right.
But then it happens again. Well, we can't really say anything because we won a Super Bowl 2 years ago. And then it happened again. Oh, you can't really say much. I'm going to make a point, but he won a Super Bowl 3 years ago. Now we're 7 years removed, and I'm looking at all the things that happened that were bad.
Yeah, all the bad draft choices, all the bad contracts.
All the bad contracts, all the cutting guys and accelerated salaries.
Dead
and
money out the...
Yeah, all this is, it's again, it's not... And part of my thing would be like, well, you know, our rookie safety was out of position, and Vaccaro, you know, if he wouldn't have held on the... There's a much bigger... And here's the problem is I feel like the wheels are coming off the wagon, and Sean Payton is, for lack of a better term, lashing out. Like, you know what? Vaccaro, you're out of here. Cooks, you're not going to listen to what I have to say? You're going to rebel against me? You're out of here. And I don't feel like there's anybody saying, whoa, bring this back in. That's not going to happen.
Right.
You need to get it in check. You need to find a way. And this is what I was alluding to earlier, that I don't really feel like we really addressed that, was at what point does a good coach find a way to make it work with a player instead of just running them out of town when they don't like the way he does things?
Right.
No, I understand what you're saying, but at the same time, I go back. I don't disagree with you. If you had a real GM...
Well, there's a first.
In this manner, if we had a real GM, that Peyton would actually have to sit down and work out, you know, I don't want this guy, why don't you want this guy, so forth and so on, you'd have a different situation. But that's not Loomis's job. So in the end of the situation, we have the same problem that so many teams have. You got the coach, who's basically the same as a GM as well. You can't wear those two hats. You have to have a GM separate from the coach. You know, when it came to, for example, for the Cooks situation, okay? Now, I'm telling you right now, you know it, I know it. So many wide receivers are a bunch of prima donnas. We know that, okay? And in this case right here, Cooks had an opportunity. He had an opportunity, in my opinion. He was wanted by the team. He had a good relationship with Breeze. He should have been busting his behind to learn more routes. So that when a coach said, well, you know, you don't want to follow. Yeah, but coach, hold on a second. I can run a slant. You haven't never put me on a slant, but I'm telling you, I can run a slant. I've been working with Drew on this slant, but he didn't. So to me, when he started crying about I don't get the ball enough, and you could see, I'm telling you right now, he's at the New England Patriots. I'm going to tell you, I doubt he makes it through this year without bitching about that.
Well, you know, that's
the
what they were saying week. He didn't get a ton of targets, and that's where the problem comes in, is that he's not getting attention.
Right.
He thinks he's dirt.
Well, we talked about this when he left here. He didn't like running clear routes here for the other receivers. So he goes to New England, and he's going to run clear outs mainly for Gronkowski.
Exactly.
Assuming he can stay on the field. I don't know. He may hurt himself again.
Well, Tomasi was one of your goods as Lattimore. So what I wanted to ask you about was, okay, so Lattimore, a rookie, albeit a very good, potentially very good rookie,
yes,
pretty much shuts Cooks down.
Right.
So now is Cooks going to go and complain that he didn't get enough targets? He had a rookie who shut him down.
Right, but this is what I'm saying to you. It's the same situation when he was with the Saints. Drew is going to throw the ball to whoever's open. He's already established that. He had a good relationship with Cooks. So if he didn't throw him the ball, it's because he couldn't get the ball to him. He didn't have enough separation. So he came in, he bitches, he complains, oh, no, not enough targets, blah, blah, blah. What happened the next game? They set up the whole game plan for Cooks. What did he do?
Nothing.
Okay. So then they say, okay, well, we're going to trade him. All right, so you trade him in New England. That's fine. I'm glad we didn't get Butler in the end because I didn't want Butler. And the word is that Belichick is bent out of shape with Butler.
He doesn't even start for New England. I think we did. Thank you.
Yeah,
it was, however you want to call it, we got lucky.
Yeah.
And you turn around and we got Ramczyk. And I'm telling you, Ramczyk is going to be a very good player at right tackle.
Sure.
He will be the replacement for Streif. No doubt about it. Okay. But Cooks didn't do more to become the player the team needed.
See, I disagree with that, man. I think it's his limited skill set. While he's fast, he doesn't have change of direction. Other routes was because he didn't want to work harder. I think he tried.
I disagree with you. Well, I think he's one of these guys, and I mean, this is not atypical, Man, I'm a burner. I can beat anybody. Just let me go, and I'll beat them. Okay, well, you know what? That works for the first year or two. After the second year, the defensive coach on the other side goes, man, all you got to do is just chuck this guy really hard at the line. You've messed up his whole thing. He can't break away. He no longer has 4-3 speed. When you chuck him at the line, now he's got 4-6 speed. Well, that ain't going to cut it. You see? And so if you don't, you become a one-trick pony. Well, you don't last very long as a one-trick pony. It's just that he needs to work hard. Let's take an example. Michael Thomas. How hard has he worked at improving his route
running? I mean, yeah, but he's a different type of receiver.
Okay, Willie Snead, a guy who was
again,
cut by several teams.
Different type. Hey, listen, it's the BS and Beer podcast.
Oh, man.
Tomas mad. He didn't get his point out. Hey, it's Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. ESPN 97.7.
You're listening to the BS and Beer podcast.
BS and Beer podcast. The worldwide leader in absolutely nothing. Do you really want to hurt me? Oh, yeah. I don't want to see nobody get hurt, but unfortunately it happens. And now Tomas is complaining that I'm singing out of tune. But, I mean, I am no Boy George.
Thank God.
That's what I'm thinking.
One's too many.
All right, so a couple of guys.
Sorry.
Oh, okay, the original. I thought that was a dig at Tomas. And the way he dresses. He's a little flamboyant. I mean, that's okay. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but just.
I have style, brother. That's what it's called.
Style. That's
Wears that kimono well.
What I like most about the fingernail painting that he does.
Yeah.
All right, it's the BS and Beer podcast. It's ESPN 97.7. You be quiet over there while I'm introducing us.
Yeah, go ahead.
Listen, this is the part we're going to talk a little injury report. We had Hendrickson.
Feelings are hurt. Is that
doesn't count. No. That doesn't count, Tomas. Hendrickson hurt his knee. Yep. Third-round draft pick, rookie. He didn't play in week one.
Right, he was ill.
Now, that's a whole nother conversation that we can...
Because it was like 2 weeks or something.
Several weeks.
Yeah.
So, I'm not sure exactly what...
That never came out. What was his illness?
Right.
But then he...
Homesick?
Gets in, has a... Yeah, maybe homesick. He comes in, plays a couple of plays, hurts his knee. I think it's a sprained knee. It doesn't seem like it's going to be something too serious. No.
Whoa!
Whoa! That's the only part I know. Oh, wait, let the sheriff tell him what's up.
This is Sheriff Cooter Wilmot of the Boudreaux Parish Feed Store, Gun Shop, Used Car, Beer Bait, Barbecue, Barber Shop, Laundromat Department. Now time for the New Orleans Saints Injury Report.
All right, thank you, Sheriff Cooter Wilmot. We did have an injury that was a little bit serious. Another rookie. Lowen, is that?
Yeah. Levin,
Levin is how you
pronounce it. But it looks like Lowen.
It's spelled Lowen,
Lowen Brown.
Okay, so do we have enough guys? Kamara and the quarterback that's not on the team anymore.
Yeah.
And that's why I didn't spend any time trying to figure out how to pronounce his name because he's not even on the team anymore. But – Michael Thomas got banged up. Looks like
funky play there. Yeah.
He passed the concussion protocol, came back in the game, so he's fine. Yeah. I wouldn't expect anything to come from him. Mm-hmm. But, Tomas, you said that some news broke yesterday.
Yeah. Breaking news!
Oh, hold on.
Breaking news from the BS and Beer news desk.
Second time, Heath, that the breaking news is actually some real breaking news.
The record.
So, Tomas...
Well, we have the Sterling Moore, who played a lot more in this game, is going to be playing a lot less. So he's going to be Sterling less. And that's because he's injured a pectoral muscle.
Oh, well, very well pronounced, by the way.
That's the correct
I just learned a little bit earlier that that's how it's pronounced.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Pectoral muscle.
Pectoral muscle.
That's
so,
right. That's why you talk about your pecs.
So how much of a loss is that going to be? Veteran
here's
presence.
The problem I
like
have
him.
With
he, one thing is this. Before you get into how much talent. He's a tough SOB. He gets in there scrappy, and I like it.
Yeah.
But I don't know how much better he was. You get the veteran presence. You get the experience. Quite frankly, and this is Tomas's guy, I think I'd much rather see Crowley on the field. What I saw from Harris, I'm ready to move on.
Yeah.
I didn't see much from him. And here's the thing, too. I got to make sure. He's also Tomas's guy. But Harris, that was one of you guys.
He was one of my guys, not as high as a starter.
Not as high. And I get it. And none of us, and even Tomas, not necessarily Crowley, nice fourth guy.
That's what my thought was. Yeah.
Here's the thing. From what I saw from him in the preseason, and I'm almost embarrassed that I just said that, because we saw a lot of stuff in the preseason that means absolutely nothing. But I didn't see Harris even play in the preseason except for, like, fourth quarter, second half stuff.
Right.
Which, if you follow, you understand that's when the backups and the guys who are now working at McDonald's, not that there's anything wrong with that. I love me some McDonald's. But here's the thing.
McDonald's.
I don't know how Coach Payton can say that he liked the consistency that Harris played with in the preseason when Crowley was playing with the starters and the first half guys, and Harris was pretty much relegated to second half. And all of a sudden, when the season starts, gets promoted over them.
Right.
So,
yeah, I really don't understand where Crowley's been. You know, that's starting to make me wonder if there isn't something else going on that isn't football related or whatever. See the next on the Sean Payton, if you don't do what I want you to do, get
right
out of here.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I always worry about that because I just don't know some of the decisions that are made. I give them the benefit of the doubt because we're not inside the building. We don't know the attitudes. We don't know if, hey, man, you know, like I remember, who was it, the kid? It was a speed guy, receiver. He ended up, we found out later he was an alcoholic, and they found him.
Joe Morgan.
Yeah, Joe Morgan. Hey. So the point is everybody, well, why didn't he play more? Why did they cut him? Because you don't know all the details behind the scene.
Right.
But that's just an illustration of, you don't know everything, you don't know, but it's still perplexing because he seems to be the better player. And now that we've had two games with Harris, I think there's no doubt. Well, I shouldn't say no doubt. I think it's definitely, you could say it's time to see if someone else can do
it. Right, yeah. I mean, absolutely. You know, that's what I'm saying. It's not only just that it isn't starting or whatever. I mean, the guy hasn't touched the field.
He's been inactive both games.
I mean, so, you know, I really don't understand that. I do know now the Saints are working out corners like crazy, though.
Yeah.
They signed one to the Sylvie. They signed him. They signed him to the Delano squad.
To the developmental squad. Yeah. Okay, so we signed a cornerback. It'd be interesting to see. I would expect Crowley to be.
We're going to have to see Crowley now.
That's the thing, though. You might find out that maybe they don't, because I mean they can sign a veteran. Remember, they signed Webb last year.
Wow, yeah,
Webb moved ahead. Now there were a lot more injuries, if I recall properly.
Yeah, like five.
Yeah, but the point is that hey, man, they might look at a guy and say, man, this guy, we think he has potential for the future, and they keep him on the team. But they know that there are better cornerbacks today on the street.
Right.
So this could be a situation we find out more about. But I don't think Crowley had enough playing time last year and enough playing time in the preseason. And quite frankly, he did have one bad game that it looked really bad. But I thought that he played okay. And man, I'm saying this and shaking my head at myself at the same time. It's all this stuff going on in the preseason. I don't know. Anyway, hey, it's the BS and Beer podcast crew. It's ESPN 97.7. We'll be back with Brian Bieniemy for an NFC South report.
This is the story of a girl who cried a river and drowned the whole world. While she looked so sad in photographs.
You're listening to the BS and Beer podcast.
BS and Beer, standing up for the little people, man.
BS and Beer podcast.
Standing up for people.
BS and Beer.
Indeed, you are powerful.
Americans are going to stand up and say,
BS and Beer.
And I'm just telling you what people are going to do.
We fight bullies.
BS and Beer podcast.
There's going to be a revolution
for the people.
BS and Beer.
There's going to be riots in the streets.
BS and Beer.
BS and Beer.
Getting ready to rise up.
BS and Beer podcast.
Come on, I'm joining them.
Now witness the firepower of this fully armed and operational
podcast.
Welcome back, ESPN 97.7. It's Dave Romero, the BS and Beer Podcast. And with me, as usual, Brian Bieniemy of ESPN 100.3 FM in New Orleans. He calls himself the Bret Hart of sports talk. He's coming in. He's going to do a little NFC South review with us.
Hi, I'm Ricky Bobby.
And I'm Cal Naughton Jr.
We like to have a lot of laughs on the racetrack, but today we want to talk about something serious.
The NFC South, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Atlanta Falcons, and the Carolina Panthers.
Brian, welcome in again, man. Appreciate you showing up.
Thanks for having me on, as always, man. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, so we got Atlanta at Green Bay. We got Tampa Bay playing Chicago, Carolina and Buffalo. I want to start with Carolina. I watched the game this afternoon. Buffalo has a good defense. Carolina still struggling. But after what happened with the Saints this past weekend, Buffalo has a good defense, and I'm not going to fool myself into believing, because Carolina struggled offensively the last 3 weeks, that the New Orleans Saints won't be the remedy.
Yeah, it seems like everybody that plays the Saints becomes the NFC player of the week or the AFC player of the week, so Saints fans shouldn't get too comfortable, especially because the Carolina Panthers still have yet to get their running game going. Christian McCaffrey and Jonathan Stewart both struggled, and of course Cam Newton is still Cam Newton. He can beat you with his legs, and every now and again he gets lucky enough to beat you with his arm, although that may be a little bit more difficult in the coming weeks.
Well, I saw he got banged up quite a bit. It looked like at one point he may have gone out with a concussion, but obviously he passed the protocol because he came back into the game. He wasn't very effective. He's looked like the same Cam Newton we saw last week. And, you know, sometimes I feel like, because I pick on him a lot, not one of my favorite players, but he has played better in the past, but missed a lot of preseason. And maybe I'm trying to make excuses for him, but man, his passes have been just, he's missing guys who are wide open. It's not even close.
No, you're spot on with that. And personally, I still think he's suffering lingering effects from that offseason shoulder injury that he had. He's never been the most accurate guy, and he's already struggling to get the ball downfield now, which was one of his better moves as a quarterback, to get the ball, push it downfield. Now he can't do that, and he's never been accurate enough to be able to throw those short dump ball passes. Cam's in trouble, and as well as him having a little bit of an ankle injury coming in this week, I still think he's going to be good enough to run around and make plays on the Saints, especially considering that defense, but it wouldn't surprise me if he struggles because of the tight end Greg Olsen being out, who is his security blanket.
Yeah, Olsen has given the Saints fits over the last several years, and it's someone that Saints have not been able to cover very well. For him not to play is obviously an advantage for the Saints. Having said that, I've been making those kind of excuses for New Orleans for the last 2 weeks, and it doesn't seem to be going my way.
Yeah, same here. I've been saying the same thing. Fortunately for the Saints, Carolina hasn't looked impressive yet either. To say they're 2-0, they're probably the least impressive 2-0 team I've ever seen. They struggled against a really bad 49er team, and the Buffalo Bills offense is anemic at best. And to say Carolina couldn't put up any points on that defense says a lot about Buffalo's defense, but you also really didn't look good trying to stop Buffalo. They basically stopped themselves.
Well,
so if I was a betting man, I'd give the Saints a better chance this week than going up against a defending champ coming off loss.
Well, and I would agree with you. Now, moving on, let's talk about a couple of teams that have looked impressive. Atlanta, again, our nemesis, our rival, they look fast. They look explosive. In week one, they played Chicago, and I didn't see that. It looked like, you know, they were trying to find their legs. But this week, that's not what I saw. I saw a very talented, explosive team, and it, quite frankly, it looked very similar to last year, and a little scary.
Yeah, I was actually shocked by how well Atlanta played against Green Bay. Even though Green Bay's defense is a suspect unit in and of itself, I was, you know, surprised by the Atlanta offense being able to move the ball as easily as they were, and the defense, without the Green Bay Packers having their two starting tackles, was able to create some pressure and create some havoc and disturb Aaron Rodgers a little bit, even though he's a better quarterback on the run. I was actually shocked at how well Atlanta played, but I don't think that's going to continue, not simply because of the rivalry, because everybody has to have their chance with the injury bug, and Atlanta's starting to suffer that fate right now.
Right. They had a few guys go out early. Their defense swarming to the ball. Matter of fact, their all-world defensive end, Vic Beasley. Now, he left the game early. I believe it was a hamstring injury, or at least that's what they said.
That's correct.
He led the league in sacks last year. Now, without him, there was a noticeable difference in the aggressiveness of the pass rush. So without him, I think that they will struggle depending on how long he's out.
Definitely. They're going to miss Vic Beasley, leading sack getter, especially coming in for a rookie. They still have Tack McKinley, but they're also trying to bring in, or at least considering bringing back, Dwight Freeney. If you're thinking about bringing back a 45-year-old Dwight Freeney, now, I know he's not 45, but he might as well be.
Right.
If you're thinking about bringing back a Dwight Freeney, that says a lot. They also lost Ricardo Allen as well, and that's just on the defensive side of the ball. They also had some offensive guys go down, and that's going to hurt them the most because Atlanta's offensive line was already weak on the right side. They just lost tackle Ryan Schroeder as well. That's going to be difficult to replace because Atlanta last year was so successful behind that offensive line, not missing any games.
Well, you mentioned it a little bit earlier, and they were so fortunate last year with injuries in general. Now, I don't want to take anything from them because regardless of how anybody feels about the rivalry, they are a very talented team. But this year, it looks like the injury bug is sneaking up on them, even if it's just a little bit. Now, moving on, we also have Tampa Bay at Chicago. Now, week one, we had Atlanta against Chicago, and the question started being like, I thought that Chicago wasn't a very good team. Then they played Atlanta, and I started wondering, okay, which one is the good team and which one's... So Chicago looked pretty good. Tampa Bay dismantled them.
Yeah, Jameis Winston was absolutely on fire to the point where he didn't even have to play most of the second half, which just says a lot about Tampa. And, you know, how good they're going to be this year. They aren't the sexy team that everybody wants to pick to come out of the NFC. And if you base it on recent history, Carolina had their chance, Atlanta had their chance, and Tampa seems to be that they believe they are the team of destiny. Crazy thing about a young team that believes they can actually start to pull it out once they gain confidence. Beating a team like Chicago as handily as they did, it's only going to give Tampa more confidence to kind of back up the hype, which is the question I've always had. Can you live up to expectation? So far, the answer is a resounding yes.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I don't know. It feels like it's been 3 or 4 years that everyone's trying to put Tampa Bay in the playoffs. They're a young team. They're a talented team. All the ingredients seem to be there on paper, but they hadn't been able to put it together on the field. And after their first game, because remember, they didn't play in week one because of the hurricane, now they're looking very strong, and this whole division is starting to be a little bit intimidating.
Yeah, especially if you're a Saints fan, considering that everybody else in the division is undefeated and you're 0-2, so you're staring up at the rest of the division, and it's not going to get any easier. Luckily for the Saints, you face a division opponent this week, and you can kind of even the playing field just a little bit. You knock Carolina down a notch, you can boost yourself up. But it's not going to be easy because Carolina and the Saints always play each other pretty tight, so that leaves a team like Tampa who can take that step up when everybody else is going to take a step back.
Absolutely. Now, Brian, let's talk just briefly here. We have about 3 minutes about the New Orleans Saints game. Again, I readjusted my expectations, and they managed to disappoint me yet again, even though I reduced my expectations.
Yeah, I can definitely understand any expectations being changed, especially after an 0-2 start. You look at the first game versus the Minnesota Vikings. The Saints had their chances with all of those trips to the red zone where they come up with field goals instead of touchdowns. Pretty much shot themselves in the foot there. Then you caught the defending champs coming off of a loss with 10 days rest. Bill Belichick is excellent at that type of, you know, preparation and getting his team ready to play, and they absolutely look ready. If the Saints go to an 0-3 hole, You can go ahead on and warm up the band because this season is pretty much over because the Saints have shown us they'll dig themselves into a hole, you know, climb up out of it to get to respectability, basically 500, and then they'll lose the next 4 games. So if they lose against Carolina, this season is all but over, and it's pretty much time to start, you know, asking the question, what's it going to take to get the Saints back to where they need to be?
On the phone with me right now, Brian Bieniemy of ESPN 100.3. We're reviewing the NFC South. So, Brian, I'm going to see how much optimism and how much Homer is left in you. Do you think that the loss on Sunday to New England had a lot more to do just being outclassed? Do you think the Saints have a chance to win some games against, let's say, more average teams?
I think the Saints will be just what they are. You know, they'll be a team that can beat the average teams because they are an average team. And when you step up to the elite, you'll probably lose. So about 8-8, maybe 9-7 could be the best that the Saints they can dream about right now. The craziest part of this is if you'd have asked any Saints fan prior to the season after looking at the schedule, if they were just 2-2 after the first 4 games, would they take it? And every one of them would have told you yes.
Absolutely.
That's the craziness on watching that team lose the way they have the first 2 games, is that everybody forgets that 2-2 going into the bye week, the Saints are going to get healthy. Teron Armstead will be back. Backstreet will be back. And hopefully, not too long afterwards, Delvin Bro will be back. And that could change a lot. Because if you watch Marshawn Lattimore, watched him lately, you got a lot of hope going on with that cornerback.
Absolutely. 30 seconds. Give me your prediction, Saints, Carolina.
Low-scoring game. I'm going to give the Saints 17-14. I think the Saints will eke out a field goal victory.
Man, I sure hope so. Although I cannot see the Saints defense holding anyone to 17 points right now. But I'm holding out optimism for one more week. I'm not saying I'm picking them, but I'm saying I'm going to be optimistic for one more week. Hey, Brian, thank you as usual for coming in and sharing your thoughts with us. And we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks a lot, buddy. See you next week.
Take care. That's Brian Bienemy of ESPN 100.3 FM in New Orleans. You can find him on Twitter at Brian TNR, and that's spelled B-R-Y-A-N. Look him up on Twitter. Follow him. He's an interesting read. He always has some insight or something to say that's interesting, I promise you. And while you're at it, look me up, Saints BS. I love talking Saints football, obviously. Hey, it's ESPN 97.7. Y'all don't go anywhere. We still got lots of Saints football to talk about.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
Hey! That's Tomas's song.
That's mine, baby.
Knock you out. Ah! It's too hot in the hot tub.
There you go. Man, that's a band there, brother.
I like it. Man, it gets you ready to do some radio, baby.
Yeah, we fired
up. Hey, it's the BS and Beer Podcast crew. Tomas Mauricio, Heath Elson-San. I'm Dave Romero. I'm your host. And we're here, ESPN 97.7, Rustin and Monroe. It's a blowtorch. I already told you that. Matter of fact, speaking of blowtorches, Heath, what's the code word? Because we're here in the Pick'em segment.
The code word is tuna snapper.
Tuna snapper.
There you go.
Like Bill Parcells.
He's right. The
big tuna.
If you say so.
And the big tuna snapper, maybe. Yeah. We might not know the rest of his nickname.
Right, no, but right. You know.
So
we know enough of it.
I tell you what, before we get to the Pick'em, I think we just need to finish up a little of the bad ugly.
Yeah.
So, Tomas, who's the guy that disappointed you the most? The guy that you just like shake your head and just like, man, I don't know about
this
guy.
I already mentioned it, but I would say the ugliest Vaccaro. Has to be. I can't pick anybody else who had a worse game than Kenny Vaccaro. So to me, for
I'd
the
have
amount
to
of
agree
time,
with that.
I'd just say it's Vaccaro.
You know, I mean, the segment's going to be short if we.
It
is what it is.
Yeah.
But Tomas has a reputation of being a little short, so I think that it. I'm just saying what I heard. Now I'm not. You know,
it's not the length of the wand; it's the magic within.
Okay.
You brought up magicians before, so you know. See, I just connect the dots.
And well, you did. I think I would have to say Vaccaro. And
see,
and
I tried to get away from that, but okay.
It's one of those things where he's just playing out of position, but I don't know where his position is anymore.
Right.
He plays more of a hybrid linebacker. They have linebackers now. I think the Saints are happy with. I don't think that he's obviously doesn't play the traditional free safety very well. Williams is the future.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Bell can play the traditional strong safety. I don't know where Vaccaro's future is with this team. Because I feel like the reason that they used the three safeties in the past had more to do with the fact that we didn't have a lot of linebackers.
Yeah.
Right. Now we have linebackers that can play. And you put them on the field because they serve that role better than Vaccaro can.
Sure.
So I just –
You think it's a systemic – easy
see,
for
it's,
me to say, huh?
It's
a systemic problem when you draft a safety that can't really play safety?
You know, listen, as soon as I get a chance to get off the air here and find out what that word means and how it applies to what you're saying, I'm going to give
What's
you an
the
answer.
Beginning part of the word, Dave?
Some.
System.
Oh.
System.
Oh, system.
Systemic.
I like it. I do agree that we've had some issues, and we thought when we brought Ireland in. Now, Vaccaro was here before Ireland.
Yeah.
Ireland seems to have done a much better job.
Yes.
We've been much more satisfied with the players that we brought in over the last couple of years.
Absolutely. Last two drafts.
But it's just head-scratching. I remember when we drafted Vaccaro, I sat there and I was just like, okay. But I get it. If you think he's a playmaker, you draft him and you find a place.
And he was the first year. Just, even as a rookie, people are like, wow.
And here's the thing. I don't want to – it's not like the guy can't play. somebody will find a role for him in the NFL. I don't think it'll be on the Saints.
Scheme. Right. It's just like, okay.
It's systemic.
No, but okay. If you say, look, we're going to – look, I'm not a Stephon Anthony hater. I wish the young man the best of luck. Maybe a different system, new start, will help him out. But remember that he looked great when they was just told, son, just go after the guy with the ball. So, you know, if you have that kind of a defensive alignment idea, okay, fine, that might work for
philosophy.
You.
He can find one of the Ryan brothers out there somewhere, and he'll –
I'm just saying to you, if he's got to read, run, pass, sweep, what containment, he's not going to be a starting linebacker. He'll be a backup, you know.
Yeah,
so
diagnosing plays does not seem to be his strength.
Forte, yes, that's correct.
So I think we're going to run into the same problem with Vaccaro. I do believe there'll be a team out there somewhere in the NFL.
Sure.
He's in the last year of his
sure.
contract. I don't believe he'll come back to the Saints. I don't think there's a spot for him.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
But there is a team. I guarantee you. It's not that he can't play. He just needs to be in the right system. Doesn't seem like the system the Saints run. Having said that, maybe the next coaches, which could
well,
be any
know,
time
New
now.
Well, you know, New England's just satisfied with Butler. Maybe we can get a deal with
oh,
New
yeah,
England.
Oh, yeah, that would solve a lot of problems.
You know, we could trade Vaccaro for a future undisclosed conditional draft pick.
I guess that's what we do now with
– Or maybe Cleveland will want him. Because Cleveland has, I think, right now, 15 draft picks
oh,
in the first seven rounds.
They could send us some cap
yeah.
space.
Well, I'm just saying to you, you know, we don't need cap space because he's in his last year of his.
Yeah.
You know,
but that's
contract.
What they do. So they go on
but
all
I'm just
NBA.
Saying, seriously, now, if there's a team that could pick up somebody for their defense, it would be Cleveland. And sure. they have a boondoggle of picks for next year.
I wouldn't be surprised if they found someone who would trade for Stephon Anthony. I wouldn't be surprised if they couldn't find someone and get
no.
a fifth or a sixth round draft pick for Vaccaro.
No, I
Vaccaro
think
is a
more.
Good player.
No, see, I don't think you'd get a five. I think you'd get a three or four easily. No, I'm seriously. Because
I know you're serious. I just don't know
well,
if I
Stephon
agree.
Well, Stephon Anthony's not playing. He didn't play much last year. He didn't play at all this year, whereas Vaccaro played last year, and he played this year. And he's got a reputation of being a heavy hitter. He's got a reputation of being able to play up in the front. So if you have a team that's looking for a guy to come up in the box and play – on defense, it's a much better situation to get for Vaccaro. Right. I'm just saying. Go ahead.
All right. Well, I tell you what. Let's get to our picks.
All right, let's go.
Time for the pick segment.
So here's our pick segment. I decided to start with the two greatest picks in Saints history.
Brett Favre goes back to pass. He pumps. Now he fires over the middle. Intercepted. I can't believe what I'm seeing right now. It was intercepted by Tracy Porter. Near side to the 40. And John Sullivan runs him down at the 47-yard line.
Glory days,
the
baby.
Yep.
The glory days.
Break down.
Come on, Tomas. All right. So here's the games that we all agree on. Rams, San Francisco, Denver, Buffalo, Pittsburgh over Chicago, Cleveland over Indianapolis, Miami over the Jets, Philadelphia over the Giants, Kansas City over the Chargers, and Oakland over Washington.
We all agree on those.
So here's the guys that we don't quite agree on. So I'll start with you, Tomas.
Yes, sir.
Baltimore, Jacksonville. Jacksonville getting 4 points.
Right. And I still believe that Jacksonville has a good defense, and they're playing in Jacksonville, and they're going to bounce back from the loss from last week. So I'm picking them. Whereas Baltimore, you know, they're kind of a strange team. It goes as if Flacco has a good game. Well, but I think that Jacksonville will really have a lot more pressure on him. So I'm going to go with Jacksonville and take my 4 points.
Heath?
Yeah, you know, this was a tough one. I'm not really impressed with either team.
Yeah. I know,
but
you gave up the defense.
Yeah, I mean, after the first week, you know, Jacksonville did actually look pretty good in their
yeah.
first game.
Yeah.
But then last – I got Baltimore in this one. I'm just
going
to go with Baltimore.
I'm going with Baltimore as well. I'll give up the 4 points. Jacksonville, I can't see myself making a lot of money picking Jacksonville. Next one, Heath, Houston at New England. New England giving up 14 points.
49 and a half.
Oh, and a half.
Yeah. You know, that's a lot of points, but I'm going to take New England at home.
Tomas.
Not me. Too many points. Even though, you know, they got Deshaun Watson now going to be their starting quarterback at Houston. And he runs around. And, you know, I just think it'll be closer than 14.5 points. So I'm taking Houston.
All right. I'm taking Houston as well. I think they got a young playmaker.
Yeah.
The only thing is the biggest play he made was with his feet. I don't know if New England's going to let him get away with that. But I think that they can keep it close. Yeah. I think they can keep it. And if you know how NFL football's played, 14 points is a lot towards the end of the game. You're up by 17, and they'll let them score just to burn some clock.
Exactly.
So, I that 14, boy, that's just hard. Seattle at Tennessee. Heath, Tennessee giving up 2.5.
I'm going to take Seattle in this game.
Okay. Tomas?
Now I'm taking Tennessee. I like what Tennessee has there. I think Mariota is getting better as we go into the season. And so I'm going to go with Tennessee and give up the 2.5.
What I've seen from Seattle is an inept offense and a defense that's not what it used to be. You know, I know because I have him on my fantasy league, and he got one catch for 7 yards, and I am not – Jimmy Graham is not pulling his weight. I'm going to have to find somebody to replace him. I'm going with Tennessee, and I'll give up to 2.5. Now, Tomas, Dallas at Arizona. Arizona getting three points.
Yep. Well, from what I saw of Dallas in the last game, I just don't see them to be – they're a team that if they're ahead, they're happy, but if it starts to fall apart, they fall apart. And I think Arizona's got a good team. So I'm going to go Arizona at home. I'm taking Arizona and the 3 points over Dallas.
Heath?
I'm going to go with Dallas. I think they bounce back. I'm not real impressed with Arizona and Carson Palmer.
You know, I'm not either, but it's at Arizona.
That's the thing, man.
And 3 points. And it's hard after watching what happened to Dallas this weekend to really – be impressed with them, so I'm going to go with Arizona and take the 3. Now, moving on to the NFC South games, Atlanta at Detroit. Detroit getting 3 points. What say you, Heath?
Man, I hate to say it. I hate to go against Gary, but I got Atlanta in this game.
Tomas?
Not me, Gary. I'm with you, my brother. I think that Detroit will pull it out, and I think that I'll take the Detroit Lions at home and the 3 points.
Well, I tell you what, Atlanta just – I don't know, man. I was just impressed with them. I can't see – I watched that Monday night game. I think Atlanta right now – sorry, Gary. I'm taking Atlanta. Tampa Bay at Minnesota. Heath, it's a pick'em game.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Tampa Bay.
Me too.
Tampa Bay. I think I'm going with Tampa Bay as well. Minnesota, I think we'll find out they're not as good as they looked when they played the Saints. Now, Saints at Carolina – Saints getting
5.5.
5.5 points. All right. What say you, Tomas?
I'm going to make a prediction. I'm going to predict that the Saints will have 3 sacks in this game against Camifet. And that's going to shake him up. So I'm going to pick the Saints. I know I'm a homer. I'm going to pick the Saints on the road and take the 5.5 points.
Okay.
How did they say it? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me, or whatever.
Yep.
I got to take Carolina in this game. As much as I want the Saints to win, as much as I'd love to pick them, I got to go with Carolina.
Every week after a loss, give me 24 hours, and I start feeling the optimism. I start thinking about, okay, listen, Minnesota's a tough place to play. We downplayed it. I did. I downplayed it. I'm like, oh, man, they're not that good. We can beat them. That's a very tough defense. We went in there. We're young. We're inexperienced. We lost. New England, they're a Super Bowl winning team.
And they had 10 days.
And they had – that's another thing. They had 10 days. Could the Saints be better than we're giving them credit for? I don't know the answer to that, and I'm not willing to bet on it. So I'm going
to
take –
But they have 2 players who are going to be out to try to make a game of it because they're former Carolina Panthers.
Sure. Okay.
Now,
if
Klein's got something to prove. Yeah. Ginn's got something to prove.
And then you
didn't
also
work out too well for Adrian Peterson.
No, it didn't work out well for
Well, but
Adrian.
He don't have – well, okay.
And then you have you have the tight end. Olsen is out for Carolina, which is a big deal.
Yep.
Having said that, I just – the Saints are now in prove it mold. I'm not going to pick them anymore until they show me that they are capable of doing something better.
Right.
Anyway, so there you go. There's our pick'ems. We'll let you know how it works
when
for us.
When I see when I had that double digit win next year. I mean, next week for me.
You did well. You did well. Hey, listen.
I'm working a lot. 8, 9. Next week is going to be 10.
You are. You're working your way up. Listen, thank you for listening. We appreciate you. It's the BS and Beer Podcast. Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio, ESPN 97.7. We'll talk to you next week.
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back.
And that's the way it is.